What are those clouds that come out of planes in the sky? Are they just simply traces of water vapor? Or could chemical warfare and government conspiracies be at play? Today, we test the believability of chemtrails.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's back to Tuesday. We hope everybody had a good weekend. And more than that, I hope you enjoyed the Friday episode. Bonus episode.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just gotta do a little something nice.
A little something nice. It was fun. Like we said a bit before, when we were recording that one, we're like, you know, we kind of touched on this. I wonder if anybody'd be interested in hearing that. But it's just cool to every now and then have a Friday episode in the back pocket.
You know what I mean? Sure. Yeah, just something there.
Especially if it's something we recorded 2 years ago, then we don't have to do anything.
It's very old.
Dude, tomorrow is our 1 year anniversary of Believing the Bizarre. Isn't that kind of crazy? I thought once it got hot out again, it would hit me and be like, wow, it's hot out again. It's been a year. Because I have vivid memories of last 4th of July walking around looking at people in their front yards put off their own fireworks because of the pandemic and listening to the UFO chase and the Mandela effect and Slender Man as a tulpa and just kind of like, wow, these are going to be dropping soon. I hope people like it. I hope they dig it. And it's been a year.
Man. To me, it's hard to think of because of how much our expectations were blown away and they're still being blown away all the time.
Every day. No, it is absolutely crazy. Like, how much has changed, you know, how much things are different now, but like, good. I think I just said the same thing twice in different ways.
Yes.
So, how much do you know about contrails / chemtrails?
More now.
That's true. Yeah, there's a quiz up today for those of you on our Patreon. Bizarro tier up to dedicated tier. But for everyone else, we got this episode where we're going to dive into chemtrails. Are they real? What are they? Are they just water vapor or is it something spookier than that? And what is going on? And I even tie a little bit of history in here just to make Charlie
see, just to appease
happy.
Me.
Just to make him happy. Your hips hurting. Try to make you happy.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's dive in. Okay, so like I said, this is it's a pretty big conspiracy. I think a lot of people that are really into it feel very deeply about it, but it's also surface level enough that a lot of people that don't know a lot about it at least have heard about it.
Yeah, it's like me. I am not super familiar with it. I've dipped a toe in chemtrails. Yeah. I've looked there.
Yeah, you got like an infested, like chemically burned toe.
Yeah.
Dipping it in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's funny? I thought that I didn't think chemtrails, I didn't think they were edgy, but I didn't know it was a conspiracy. So I would look at those things in the sky behind planes and be like, chemtrail. Like, but I didn't mean it as a conspiracy or that they were bad. I just thought that's actually what they were called. I was like, that's a chemtrail. You know? I don't think it's hit flat earth territory yet where people are like super passionate both sides. But I think it's a pretty big one and hopefully no feathers get ruffled either way.
When you told me what this one was, I was like, oh, we're here. We've gotten here.
Yeah. Because I think it's interesting because there's podcasts that don't touch conspiracies just because you can't prove it right. You can't prove it wrong. It's just people. It's kind of, I don't want to go into this, but it's kind of like politics where it's, ooh, if you believe it to be true, then it's true.
And there's an echo chamber on either side.
Oh yeah. We'll get to that. So before we get to chemtrails, let's talk about what the science and environmental community call it. Contrails.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I don't want to throw you off too bad though.
I will, but that's fine. I can, okay. I'm better off the cuff mate, sometimes.
Do you know anyone that believes in chemtrails? Like, passionately?
Not if they do, they have, well, I haven't had a conversation about it with them. Nobody I know I've had a conversation with. Do you know somebody who's very passionate about chemtrails?
I do not. I don't personally know. I wish I did.
Do you know people passionate about contrails?
No.
Nobody's like, and just to be clear, I think it's clear, but just so everybody knows, they're in on the joke on what we're talking about. We're talking about when you look at a plane and you see like the streams of smoke behind it. Yeah, it's not smoke, but
especially relevant for you because you live by an airport.
I live like 5 minutes away from an airport. So if this shit's true, I'm donezo. I'm going to have like four eyes, but not wearing glasses and like purple skin. It's going to be great. So if it's nothing nefarious, what are those contrails? By the way, it's portmanteau is what a contrail is. Same as chemtrail. It's combining the word condensation with trail. Same as chemical and trail. Chemtrail, contrail. But we have eyes. We can see. We see those smoke lines.
Yeah, what are they hiding? Those
what are they doing up there? Because sometimes you don't see them. There's some planes that just, haven't you ever seen a jet or a plane and you just see it like shine in the sky and there's nothing behind it?
If I have, I never thought about it.
Well, now you'll think about it every time. So what are these streaks according to the science community? They are streaks of condensed water vapor created in an airplane at high altitudes. So basically, I don't want to go too much into the science of this because I feel like this whole freaking episode is going to be like this. But you have to think about like condensation. And by that, I mean like the precipitation cycle of water becoming gas. And then it's not a gas, and then it's liquid, and then it's ice, and it's solid, and it gets on your frozen vegetables and
that you've left
in there for way too long. Ugh. So basically, think about this. So you have a plane, right? An airplane, a jet, whatever you want to call it. And it has...
Oh no, Tyler's just died.
And as you can imagine, the engines and the exhaust of the plane are incredibly hot. So it's shooting out water vapor, and it's shooting out carbon dioxide and a little bit of sulfur that's just coming from the engine. But it's at incredibly high altitudes, which is incredibly cold. So when it shoots out that hot water vapor, which is mixing with the carbon dioxide and the little bit of sulfur, the water vapor is turning into like water ice droplets. That mixing with the other crap, essentially, that's coming out of the plane turns it into contrails. So you're seeing those droplets, ice crystals up in the sky. And depending on the temperature of the sky and the altitude of the plane and the humidity, all of that factors in whether or not you see the contrails for a couple minutes, whether you see the contrails for an hour, the way that the contrail dissipates, all that factors in. So if it's a really, really dry day, it'll probably disappear very quickly.
My aunt that lived by lived in Berea.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right by Cleveland Hopkins Airport, right?
Used to deliver there.
She had so many of these things in the sky. It was kind of beautiful. I thought they were just clouds.
It's cool to look at, you know, when you don't think it causes death and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it actually can cause overcast skies. Like they can dissipate, and if there's enough of them, it can actually make it a cloudy day.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Kind of sad, but people got to be flying places, I guess.
Yeah.
So that is the scientific idea of a contrail. Just plain science. You got water vapor plus a little bit of sulfur, carbon dioxide shooting out of the hot plane, the hot exhaust. It's really high up. It's cold. The water is like, ooh, I don't want to be a gas anymore. It's cold out here. I'm going to turn into ice droplets. And then the sulfur isn't, and carbon dioxide is like, I want to come too. And then contrails.
I hope that Hank Green simple explanation is enough for everybody out there.
Or some really spooky shit is happening.
Nefarious.
Yes, I'm just kidding. It's actually not scary. Well, actually, you know what? It's not scary in the way like skinwalkers. It's scary in the way that maybe our children's children won't be able to enjoy Earth as we know it today.
Oh, that is scary.
Yeah, if you have children's children. There's grandparents out there listening. I know most of you are like 15, but y'all got grandparents. I know you do.
I got one. She lives off spite.
So, like I said, where contrail stands for condensation trail, chemtrail stands for chemical trail. So the belief here is that the government or a secret society or some random creepy third party that never wants to have children, apparently, they're utilizing planes to distribute a toxic chemical into the atmosphere. And again, we're talking about those streaks of smoke that you see behind jets.
Do you mean population control? Not to jump ahead.
Okay, I will get to that. That comes into possible motives, right?
Okay, all right.
But first, we're going to talk about why this strikes people as unusual. Because, I mean, planes have had these for a long time. So why is it just recently? This really started picking up steam in the 90s. So why, like, what are people seeing? What's happening that's making people think there's something nefarious going on? We're going to see how many times we can use that word. A lot of people claim that decades prior had bluer skies. A lot of people are saying that the clouds now look very unnatural. People are claiming that they're witnessing strange weather patterns, that the contrails, if you consider them that, are lasting a lot longer than they used to. People are noticing harm to crops and collections of unexplainable toxins on their crops. People believe that the water vapor should dissipate more quickly, if that's truly all it is. Although I will say science is saying that there is carbon dioxide and a little bit of sulfur, but you know, it's neither here nor there. And some people are even experiencing physical illnesses.
That cloud looks unnatural. It looks like an ice cream cone. It looks like a doggy.
They're just playing that game. Did you ever play that game?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I still play that game by myself.
See, all right, nobody's going to know what I'm talking about. But if you were in the human zoo and you didn't have your phone or podcast or anything, that's probably what you would do all day.
Oh, absolutely.
You would just look at clouds. And
clouds? I love looking. I almost hate a cloudless day because there's nothing to look at in the sky.
It just looks like a big old chemtrail.
It just looks all light blue. Oh, do you know that?
I can tell if it's darker or lighter, but it might be a purple sky to me. I don't know. So this leads us to the question, what exactly is the purpose of chemtrails? Theories range from weather modification to human population control to chemical warfare to solar radiation management and apparently even mind control. Now, I will say I didn't find anything that said anything about mind control. That might be like on the dark, dark web. But I will also say, and I mentioned this on our quiz that we did earlier, I don't think Google is trying to give people who believe chemtrails are true a platform. And I'm not saying that is good, and I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that I think in Google's algorithm, what it is pushing to the top of page 1 and 2 and 3, I think it's more one, articles written on sites with a higher domain authority, which probably won't go too deep into chemtrails and believing it. They'll touch on it in a way where they're like, yeah, this is what people think. But in terms of finding quality content, and by quality, I mean descriptive and actually proposing a side of an argument for chemtrails, is pretty hard to find. But I think Facebook and Google and YouTube algorithms do better mind control than anything. And this is something you kind of touched on, because I don't know if you said it here or elsewhere, but the echo chamber, I think that is actually a form, not of mind control, but Facebook and YouTube sees what you're watching, sees what you like. You can actually go to your profile on Facebook and look, and it'll know like what your political affiliation is, even if you never filled it out, just by what you do. It'll say, oh, this person is part of the Democrat Party, this person is part of the Republican Party, keep feeding them videos about this, just so you kind of get that confirmation bias over and over and over again. So you just keep building up this belief that you're absolutely correct and this other side are terrible, terrible people.
Yeah, it's not mind control, but it's definitely some form of like...
It's unhealthy persuasion.
There you go. Nailed it.
Anyway, if you believe this to be true, I think it comes back to the idea of power, which is power for the secret society. Now, this is me rambling. I'm not necessarily reporting what they're saying. I'm trying to put my two cents in.
No, I like it. I like it.
Because I think it has to come down to power, because it has complete effect on Earth. Like, if you're doing weather modification, if you're doing mind control, if you're potentially harming Earth, that's always been one thing that I've never fully understood. Like, I know there's like the trope of like the evil villain that just wants destruction and wants to ruin everything just for the sake of doing it. But it's kind of like, well, you know, you got to live here too. You know, like you also breathe this air. You also eat this food. You know what I mean?
Unless if you subscribe to the idea that like the top 1%, right, they are purposely destroying the Earth because they're working on some kind of space program where they would jump in a spaceship, take off.
Yeah, but it still seems like it'd be easier to just make it work here than hope you find somewhere else that's just as good.
That's probably accurate, yeah.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And then, so weather manipulation, well, weather impacts Earth every single day. And then if you think about health, whether it's making people sick or not. Obviously, that affects us every single day. And there's really not much you can do unless you just stay indoors. And you, because if you think about, people are finding toxins on crops. So what are you going to eat? McDonald's every day?
Yeah, right.
I think you'd probably survive longer eating toxic crops over a McDouble every single day. But if it's kind of crazy or terrifying to think about, this is where the spookiness comes into play. Like, what if they really can create hurricanes? What if they can create tornadoes? And to play into it a little bit, I feel like in the last 10 years, there's been a lot of really weird freak weather anomalies. People in states, and I guess states, not people, states that normally don't get a lot of snow have been getting snow, heat rising, and you know, global warming, we'll, you know, leave that where it is. Really bad weather storms, severe thunderstorms, hurricanes, tornadoes in areas that aren't normally experiencing tornadoes. Droughts. There's a lot of crazy weather stuff happening right now.
Oh, you know what though? This is a little off topic, I guess, but something that's it's a huge weather thing. I don't know if it's weather even, but a catastrophe that could happen that scares me. I'm trying to think about it because there's nothing I can do about it.
Is it gravity?
No.
Oh, dude, I've had thoughts about gravity just being like, bye, peace.
No, that'd be fun for like 20 minutes.
Probably less than that, but go ahead.
No, the thing that like really freaks me out is that super volcano in Yellowstone.
Oh yeah, I mean we would be better off than a lot of other states.
That's true, but I still try not to think about it.
Yeah, that would really do some damage to our listenership.
It really make me have a bad day.
Yeah, our numbers, our download numbers would go down. So,
oh no,
God, we can't let that happen. So, outside of power, what else is there? All about the money, right?
Everything's run on money.
And this is kind of where maybe with population control, not just for the sake of, you know, almost like, was it Thanos that's like, oh, resources and blah, 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 blah. We're going to get rid of hefty people.
Yeah, snap
my fingers like I'm supporting a jazz club. No, this is like the idea, if you think about, is there a cure for cancer? And if there is, are they hiding it because there's so much money in cancer?
Oh, so much money in those pills and stuff.
Yeah.
Specialty pills cost thousands.
They just ground up money and stuff it in pills. But if you think about it, if pharmaceutical companies are somehow in any way tied to this secret organization that is putting out the chemtrails, naturally they would give the thumbs up to dispersing these chemicals so that people stay sick, so they have to keep buying medicine and pills and blah, 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 blah. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Of course, it's a way to keep revenue coming in.
Right. And so keep this in mind. This isn't specific to the United States either. And this is something I know I'm guilty of. When people talk about government conspiracies, I naturally think like, ooh, the United States government.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. I think it's just because we're Americans.
Probably,
we don't really think life exists beyond our borders. But this is global. If there's a secret organization or a secret group behind chemtrails, it would have to be a global thing. This isn't just the United States.
So, oh, international cooperation. That's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, they're all like, all right, we're going to kill everyone together. Let's hold hands.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Which makes it a little harder to believe for me, because I don't think you can get that many people to agree to it.
Right, but no one agrees on anything.
But if you believe in something like the Illuminati, then it's like, well, they're already higher than governments anyway, so why not just throw out chemtrails?
We just got hit up by the Illuminati to join them.
We did on Instagram. Yeah. They were very kind about it.
Super nice.
And I let them down very nicely.
Gently.
Right? Gently, like, no thank you, not interested, but we appreciate you reaching out. And I just want you guys to know that we're actually not joking. That 100% happened.
That really
did. I'm not
happen.
Saying that person was actually from the Illuminati. They're probably just some, it was probably like Tom 4576 on Instagram. But we did get that message. And we said no. But if we ever blow up out of nowhere and we get really, really famous, you'll know that we kind of switched our tune.
Yeah, right. Or did we?
Or did we? So here is a quote from a popular website that believes in chemtrails. Do you remember the name of this?
Bye bye blue skies.
Bye bye blue skies. Absolutely. So this is a quote from that website. Because like I said before, I wanted to deep dive and find some websites that truly believe in chemtrail, because a lot of them were very tongue in cheek otherwise, which I'm not saying I truly believe in chemtrails. I just wanted to find a source that did. And I found a couple. Quote, "We use education, peaceful protest, and creative communication to expose one of the world's largest and most significant ecological threats and preeminent disasters, commonly known as climate engineering or chemtrails. These programs are done under national research, wherein plausible deniability can always ensue. This is the toxic spraying of nanoparticulate metals, which are further amplified by ionospheric heaters to steer, direct, and control our weather for military purposes and global domination. Unquote. Sounds about right, right?
I'm not going to lie. My eyes glazed over a little bit.
It's the jargon, bro.
Yeah.
It's the jargon. So here's a quote from another website I found.
Oh, good.
Which is, I feel like they're really trying to look out for you. Although I did, and it's funny because when I found the site, I'm like, oh, this will be fun. It's called Chemtrail Safety. I'm like, I hope there's like an infographic where it's like, when a plane comes over, duck under your desk, put your hands over your head, roll, like, eat your McDonald's. No, you won't like your toy, but your mom works two jobs, so be damn happy about it. I didn't find that.
Oh.
But I did find this quote.
Okay, let's hear it.
Quote, according to patents and soil testing, these artificial clouds may be packing aluminum and heavy metals that contaminate the air and biosphere. First widely reported in 1998, jet-dispersed aerosols now daily fill our skies as part of a worldwide weather modification program. Long dubbed chemtrails by observers, and in more recent years, geoengineering, the aerosols are thought to be a brew of aluminum and heavy metal oxides harmful to the environment and human health when inhaled. Aerosol spraying seems to do a better job of causing drought in the western United States. That's because one of its core design features is to stop normal clouds from condensing into precipitation. This chemical manipulation is visible whenever you see what looks like contrails in a tic-tac-toe formation across the sky. The contrails start spreading outward, eventually becoming a smoke-like haze shrouded out the sunlight. It's also possible to detect the aerosols in storm systems whose clouds appear to be dissolving into wisps of cotton candy as they cross overhead. In either case, the end game of the spray campaign is to produce an enormous sea of vapor in the atmosphere. This water reservoir is then diverted to some far-flung location, typically the Midwest or southern states, using the weather modification tools. And when this reservoir finally does turn into rain, it's often not your typical weather system. Over the past 20 years, freak hailstorms, snowmageddons, and mile-wide tornadoes have become commonplace events reported on the evening news. In most cases, when the onboard concoction makes contact with the air, the metals oxidize, generating nano-sized particulates that can remain aloft in the sky for up to 20 hours. Chemtrails are initially distinguishable by their elongated formations or grid-like pattern in the sky. However, as particulates spread out, these formations become either wispy fragments or artificial cirrus, a smog-like murky haze. Other indications of spraying include small rainbow-like halos appearing in the clouds, the absence of morning dew, and radio signal interference. Unquote. I could tell I was losing you. I'm sorry.
The person who wrote that needs to focus his attention on something that is real.
Listen, I must say, it's more enthralling when you're reading it. I think hearing it, and this is a podcast, so I apologize. I think hearing it, it's easier to daze out, but reading it is a little bit more interesting.
I got a couple of words. I heard tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. So basically it's saying shit doesn't look right. You can tell it doesn't look right if it looks like tic-tac-toes. It gets wispy. It comes down. It's causing freak weather. It can even cause rainbow halos, no morning dew, radio signal interference, bad juju. I like snowmageddons, too.
Do you know how happy I am that you put a little like a synopsis at the end of that?
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There's the cliff notes. And once again, I want to reiterate that those sources are byebyebluesky.com and chemtrailsafety.com. So feel free to go check those out yourself. It's a hoot. And Zeta Talk. I'm just going to plug that one too. I didn't look at that one, but there's probably still
probably
some,
good.
Probably
good
still some that. Stuff happening on Zeta Talk. Now, a couple personal testimonies from people that truly believe in chemtrails.
I looked up at that in the sky, and there's a line.
It was a spooky line, and it turned into a cloudy day.
Oh, no.
But I was supposed to have a picnic with my family, and it was cloudy.
With my wife's sister.
Chemtrail. Oh, God. So this is from The Guardian, which is a website, and this talks about Lisa, who is the creator of the Sierra Nevada Geoengineering Awareness Group.
The Guardian's British, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it is.
I don't
know. Okay.
I was looking at Lisa, not The Guardian. And Lisa says it's difficult to find enough common ground to make progress in reference to a lot of people still not believing in chemtrails. So in 2014, following what she called a heavy spraying, she says that left a metallic sheen on surfaces in her pond, and it depleted the honeybee population around her home. And so that caused Lisa to drive into town, and she marched around her streets holding a sign that simply said, "Look up," as in kind of like, wake up, look at the sky. Do you see this? This shit ain't natural. That is a wispy ass contrail. It's a chemtrail. I got metallic like stuff. I'm paraphrasing, all up in my pond. My frogs have 5 heads. It ain't right. They can't sit on their lily pads anymore because they're too top heavy.
I'm just imagining how awkward it would be driving a car, seeing that sign, and you're just like, you look up, and then you see the sign. Oh, no. Well, let's just say you give it a thumbs up. Like, yeah, it's up there.
Yep, it looks great. And she says, that sky is a steely color. It used to be more turquoise. And she also said that she used to salute the flag with a tear in her eye. But now she's completely shocked at all the things that the government is doing.
I enjoy Lisa.
Lisa first heard about chemtrails through neighbors and social media. And like any smart person, she was initially skeptical. But that changed in 2013 when she noticed that planes were flying overhead and they were whiting out the sky. And after witnessing these planes, as she claimed, whiting out the sky, she noticed that her health began to deteriorate. Her hair started falling out. She got really bad asthma, sinus issues, and nonstop headaches. But not only that, they hit up the gardens as well. There was an insect die-off. There was fungus on oak trees. Oh, God. I found a frog. She found a frog with a missing leg and elongated tailbone.
Oh.
That must have been in my subconscious about the frog rant. So she claims that she stayed inside for all of 2013, and she only went outside when she was wearing a mask. Hopefully she kept that mask. She would need it about 7 years.
She practiced for 2020.
Later. I know. She was ahead of the game. She should have made cool ones like Target.
Yeah.
And sold them.
She would have made millions.
I know. Well, it would have taken her a long time to make money, but yeah. If she would have like started stockpiling up then. So she believes that these symptoms and all this plane whiting out the sky was caused by military aircraft from the nearby Beale Air Force that was conducting geoengineering experiments throughout Nevada County. Now, Lisa says that you would never in your life be able to convince her that those contrails in the sky are harmless. Not end quote, but end story.
Yeah, yeah.
Exit Lisa, stage right. Thank you, Lisa. Next, also, now this one, I know this one's from England. The BBC.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm hanging out with Russ Tanner.
Russ Tanner?
Yes. Russ Tanner runs what he claims is the largest chemtrails group on Facebook. Chemtrails Global Skywatch. Just look up. It has more than 100,000 members. Maybe we should post this episode in that group.
Oh, God.
I don't think they... Well, they might like it, the fact that we're talking about it, but I feel like every, like, sassy remark we make, they're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And we're not even saying whether or not we believe it yet, but, you know, they might be a little sensitive. Maybe someone of our listeners is in that group. If you're in that group, can you invite us?
Wait, there's a Chemtrails
Global Skywatch. Did you find it?
There's a Chemtrails Global Skywatch, and then there's a Chemtrails Global Skywatch 2 now.
Wow, a sequel. It's probably not as good. So in an interview with the BBC in this website, Russ says, quote, "I can't sleep when the air is that concentrated with this fallout. It causes me physical symptoms. I taste and smell it. It burns my sinuses, causes inflammation, rises in blood pressure, stomach issues, and headaches." We have a long history in all countries of scientists believing things that we later realize are false. It takes a very rare and brave person who steps out and goes against the flow. Whether or not people listen, that's up to them. But as for me, this is happening. Unquote. So
he's the brave person.
He's the brave person. Okay. Thank God for Russ.
Thank
and
goodness.
The BBC for reporting it, because without the BBC, nobody know who you are, Russ, except for the 100,000 people that are in here. Your Facebook group. The original. I don't know how many are in the sequel. So, those are the personal testimonies and some evidence from the websites that some of them have created, them being conspiracists. So, is this even possible? Is there any chance that a plane could disperse something that causes harm? Is there any way a plane could lead to weather modification? Answers are yes and yes. And we're going to go into examples right now. One, this is an example of planes causing harm to people. Agent Orange, we're talking about the Vietnam War. In that war, the United States utilized Agent Orange, which was an herbicide. I don't think you say the H in herbicide, right? It's not herbicide, right? It's like herbs.
I think it's, you could do either way.
Yeah, but one way makes you sound a little bit like a dumbass. I think the correct way is herbicide. If I'm wrong, let me know, because y'all are really good at letting me know. So they deployed an herbicide via the planes. The intention was to simply spray gases and destroy Vietnamese crops. Basically, the idea being here, and I'll just reiterate, it wasn't to harm the Vietnamese soldiers. They weren't trying to harm them directly. The idea was, if they can't eat, they can't fight. And if they can't fight, then we win. Pretty simple, right? So yeah. The idea was that these planes would fly over their area, disperse the herbicide, kill the crops. Then they have to go to McDonald's. They get indigestion. This is just an episode attacking McDonald's.
I know, right?
But just speaking about McDonald's puts it out there. So even though we're talking shit, there's that one person listening that's like, it's been a minute since I've had a Big Mac.
It's me.
Has it been a minute since you've had a Big Mac?
I don't eat Big Macs.
That's because they're gross.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not what happened. It's recorded that up to 4 million people were exposed to Agent Orange, which later resulted in higher cases of leukemia, cancer, and birth defects. It also majorly destroyed a lot of forests in Vietnam. So it did harm crops. It did do that as well. But I will say this. It wasn't intended to hurt Vietnamese soldiers. So much so that a lot of American soldiers didn't take it seriously as well. Like, there were reports of people reusing the barrels or the canisters that had Agent Orange in it, whether to carry stuff, whether to bathe in, things like that. So it wasn't like, this could be really, really dangerous, but we're willing to chance it. They, as far as what I read, and maybe the higher ups knew, and they didn't let the foot soldiers know, but a lot of people, even on the American side, did not believe that it would cause harm to people. And the only catch is where a jet with the contrails are incredibly high in the sky, the planes that administered Agent Orange were flying relatively low. They weren't way high up in the altitude with little like smokestacks behind them.
Right. This is
like flying low, dropping, dispersing this herbicide.
Yeah.
But also things change, and this was 60 years ago.
That's true.
I don't think you can say that just because this is the way they had to do it then doesn't mean that it couldn't change now.
Technology evolves all the time.
All the time. Look at the iPhone 6 versus the iPhone now.
It's kind of crazy, actually. So
very yeah, crazy.
That's
so
a good point.
It probably is real. So next, talking about weather modification. Remember, we're talking about Snowmageddons, tornadoes, creating hurricanes on the drop of a dime. Now, that might not yet be possible, but there is something called cloud seeding. So what is cloud seeding? Cloud seeding is essentially planes that find existing clouds, and then they disperse substances into the air that serve as cloud condensation. And the most common chemical used are silver iodide, potassium iodide, and dry ice. Apparently, table salt is becoming more popular as well. I hope they just have those little, like, tubes. And they, like, flip open the little lid, the lip, and they just start dumping it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Dumping it out. But basically, so they find these clouds. They have to exist. Like, if you're thinking about, wait a minute, it is, like, always dry in Los Angeles. There's always forest fires. How come they're not creating rain clouds to put it out? You have to have the cloud first. I don't want to say they can't. Who knows what they can do? As far as what I've seen and the way that cloud seeding works, the cloud has to already exist. They can't create a cloud and then make it rain. They have to find a cloud, and basically what they try to do is put the stuff, the substances, all those chemicals into the cloud to make it rain faster than it initially would have.
Like a firebender in M. Night Shyamalan's movie, the fire has to be existing already.
Exactly. I'm very glad. Very, very glad that you said that. And apparently, and I did not see this. Well, obviously I saw it because I'm talking about it, but I didn't see the strategy behind it. Apparently there's ways to find a cloud and make it hold off on rain.
Okay.
As well, but more of what I saw was forcing it to rain. So why does this matter? Well, here's an instance of where it came into play. In the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, the arena that it was in was outdoors, and everybody in Beijing was like, we don't want it to rain on the Olympics. That would look really bad. The only people that would like that are Michael Phelps, because they're already in water. So what they did was they actually implemented cloud seeding a few days prior. Well, I think it might have been a week prior, but they did it ahead of time so that the 3 days or so before the Olympics, it just poured and poured and poured and poured, and then it was dry and clear the whole Olympics. So it actually worked.
Man, that was a beautiful opening.
Yes.
Yes,
it was very memorable.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean it's always good? No. There's an example of a misuse of cloud seeding, and this goes back to 1952 in Lynmouth, England. So residents in Lynmouth claimed to see planes circling clouds in the sky. Little did they know that they were testing out cloud seeding. So it worked. They did everything they needed to do. But they received 9 inches of rain within 24 hours. It caused rivers to overflow. It caused buildings and bridges to sustain serious damage and even ended up killing 35 people.
Wow. It's like, it's working too well. Oh,
too well. Yeah, but it worked.
That's sad.
And at first they tried to deny it.
Oh, really?
But then it came out what it was. And it's just the shady stuff like that that mm-hmm. just always reaffirms that it's like, I really don't want to trust them. Mm-hmm. Don't want to trust them. So I'll leave you with this, because this is kind of taking a step back from everything. Conspiracy or not, do contrails have an effect on climate change? And the answer to that is yes. So a study was conducted in 2018, and it found that contrails actually play a larger role in global warming, if you believe that, than had initially been considered, actually twice as much as been considered. So they found that the contrails block sunlight, which traps the heat, which is why you notice on some really cloudy nights, it's really, really warm, but some nights it's a really clear sky and it's freezing. Mm-hmm. So the clouds from the contrails that disperse are keeping heat in. And basically it's saying that so much of the contrail-related global warming is often during takeoffs in late afternoon and early evening. So what they want to do is change some of the trajectory of those flights. Because where it is, and this is getting further into things that are difficult for me, a simpleton, to talk about, but based on the altitude of the plane and where the contrails are dispersed impacts how much global warming induced contrails there are. So at certain levels, it makes it more susceptible to cause harm to Earth. So they're suggesting trying different angles and different times of pretty much flying.
Okay.
But there's not enough research done, and it affects jets and planes, wallets, and those major companies. And I don't think there's enough regulation in air traffic yet for them to really take it seriously. And it's a very small, it's less than 5% of contrails cause like 3% of all global warming. So it's not minuscule, but it's small enough that people that are in charge of air traffic aren't quite taking it seriously yet. Probably in the next 10 to 15 years, it'll probably become a bigger discussion, I imagine. But that's just me throwing that out there. So that is an overview, a chemtrail contrail 101. Are you ready to discuss? So before we get to the discussion, we want to shout out our new patrons. We have Ghost Type Alex and we have Joshua Evans. Thank you both for joining our Patreon. Also, so I normally do our thing. We got quizzes, we got segments, we got more quizzes, all that stuff. Yeah, that stuff's there. It's still great. We're actually recording something later, social media, because you guys post stuff on, well, we post stuff on Mondays and you guys respond to it. And we're actually going to respond to that next after this. But for the entirety of the month of July, if you join our $10 tier, Charlie, tell them what they get. Yes, I pimped you.
They get this new shirt designed by our good friend, Eddie.
I call him Ed.
Well, but whatever.
You've known him like 10 years. What, you guys have a name together? What? Ched?
Ched, yeah.
You said we go by.
But our good friend, Eddie, he's a great designer. He's been doing some work with us, and he designed this bee-inspired shirt.
Yes, bee leaving the bees are. It's cute, it's funny, it's cool, it's unique, and everybody in our dedicated tier automatically gets it. There's no extra charge. You can't buy it on our website. The only way that you get this shirt is by being a member of that tier, and you get it automatically. So everybody already in our dedicated tier, you're going to get it. And everybody who joins our dedicated tier anytime during the month of July 2021, you will also automatically get it. So check that out. Check out all the other extra stuff in our Patreon. So if you're interested in bonus content, we'd love to have you there.
If you want to see it, it's already on our Instagram.
That's right. So go back to something we posted last week. And again, thank you, Alex and Joshua, and back to the discussion. So, Charlie, that was a lot of mumbo jumbo. It was a lot of science. It was a lot of conspiracy, a lot of bye-bye blue skies.
It was.
What are your thoughts?
Well, man, I think that it's very interesting that...
I was going to say thank you. Thank you very much.
That these planes are like flying around. The idea that they're flying around, they're causing weather manipulation. We didn't even talk about something that I've heard about before that I think is interesting. No, not HAARP.
I was going to say, we're talking about the skyquakes a little bit.
No, the idea that these things are like kind of like putting out this potion or whatever to stop people from being able to breathe, to be like sterile.
Yeah.
And I think that's super interesting too.
It goes into the illnesses that people sustain.
Yeah.
The only issue is that I didn't find a testimony from anybody that was like, I am now sterile. It was just part of the, this is what people say, you know what I mean? But I could post something on Wikipedia and say that, you know what I mean?
You could.
So I tried to dig, and I'm sure there's a lot I didn't get to. I know for a fact there's a lot I didn't get to, but like, for instance, I wanted to find somebody that had something to back up mind control.
Yeah, but that didn't happen because...
Right. A lot of it was, I'm not feeling well, I'm feeling sick, the sky looks unnatural, and it's affecting my crops.
And this kind of goes back to, oh gosh, I don't remember what episode it was, but causation versus...
correlation?
Yeah. Maybe that's all that is. Maybe you did start to feel not well, and you did start to notice these things, but it doesn't mean they're connected.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of things happening with pesticides, you know, if you believe in global warming, the way our atmosphere is, even if you don't believe in global warming, but you believe that the earth naturally cycles through different temperature changes and we're heading towards warmer times. And also, it's like, even if it's not chemtrails, all the fumes that cars put in the atmosphere, all the fumes that helicopters and planes and boats and people that we put out there, you know, cutting down trees, building cities, all this carbon dioxide... Maybe that has something to do with it. Even if you don't believe in global warming, I have to believe that you believe that that stuff can't be good. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Earth wasn't necessarily meant for humans to have planes and cars. And I'm a hypocrite in the fact that I drive and fly places.
Right.
But I'm still just saying that maybe it's not a government conspiracy that the smoke behind airplanes are causing stuff to happen in the sky.
Just could be happening.
Maybe it's just all this industrialization that's been happening in the last few hundred years. Maybe.
But the idea that the government is actively using these trails to influence our world, like, on purpose, I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah, it just seems like there's ways that they wouldn't... It seems too obvious now. You know what I mean? Like, why... Like, there has to be clear ways. There has to be other ways that they can do it. Like I said, I feel like Facebook does a great job. YouTube does a great job already getting people in a certain mindset that maybe higher secret societies want us to be in. Like, they already got it very us versus them.
Man, you ever talk about something, like something you want to buy in your house, And then the next thing you know, it's on your Facebook page.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's called retargeting.
Well,
if you go to a website, it gives you a cookie, which they're trying to get rid of, which is actually kind of nice privacy wise. But companies probably use platforms like Adroll. So that if you go, like, if you're looking at, you know, shoes at Payless, and then you go to Facebook, you're going to see a Payless ad because Payless pays Adroll or something like that to put a cookie on your browser. So until you clear cookies at other places you go,
The same kind of echo chamber I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm not saying you're wrong. I was just kind of showing you a curtain behind the scenes. But yeah, I mean, but also like phones do pick up. Like if you speak, I'm not saying that it's like actively listening to you. And also this kind of goes into the idea of ego. Like I'm not going to do this because the government's watching me. I'm like, bro, no offense.
They already got your phone number, man.
But yeah, if I knew that Joe Biden could hear me through my cell phone right now, how much would that actually change my day-to-day life? What conversations am I having? Now, do I think if that's true, that's an invasion of privacy? Yes. Do I like it? No. But at the same time, I don't have an inflated sense of ego that I'm like, oh, everybody's out to get me. I know I'm going off on tangents right now, but this is when we talk conspiracies. My floodgates just open up. My cloud seeding gets crazy. And also, I truly believe that there's cloud seeding happening in Northeast Ohio. Northeast Ohio and Seattle, that's where they do all their tests on cloud seeding. It's kind of like giving the sky laxative.
Oh, I guess
you think about it that way.
I didn't, but you could.
You could, and I did. Now, I wanted to give it some weight. I'll be completely transparent. I really don't buy this. But I feel like I felt guilty if I went into this just saying I don't really buy it. So that's why I wanted to include as much evidence from sources that backed it, testimonies that backed it. Because if you notice, I really didn't include many scientists in here.
Right, no.
I was, and you know, and it's also kind of like showing, can we manipulate the weather? Yes. Can we harm people by dispersing gases from planes? Yes. But all of that being said, I don't think that chemtrails are what they are. I'm not great with science, but scientifically, science, how many times I can include that in there? It's not nefarious the way that I think chemtrails are made, because it makes sense in terms of the water vapors and the other substances hitting the cool temperatures, expanding, and that's what we see.
Yeah, and I ultimately agree with you.
But the world be spooky, so I'm not going to go unbelievable. We know that governments lie about things. We know that there's cover-ups, and we know that, at the very least, that they can do weather modification. Now, let me say this. I don't think that it's about depopulation. I don't think they're trying to hurt people. But could there be something in the jet planes that are causing things to happen in the sky and affect weather? Maybe, maybe not intentionally. It seems like a very weird thing. It's like the jet is created to transport people, but it also has a second job of killing a lot of people and poisoning crops. It's kind of like, what a weird thing to tack on to a jet. So I'm going to say skeptical, because maybe there's some after effect of it. We're already seeing that it is leading to global warming a little bit. I just don't think it's intentional. Depopulation. Let's kill all the people. I want frogs to have bigger booties. I don't think that was the plan. I feel like I should go unbelievable. I feel like my believables and my unbelievables have been very rare. But that's kind of how I'm not a black and white person. I am very gray. I live in gray areas. It is hard for me to go 100% either way in most aspects of my life. And I'm not going to change that for a podcast.
So I already said, I don't think this is happening. So I find it much easier to go black and white. So I think it's unbelievable. So, I don't believe it.
So all of the hate mail should be directed to you.
Specifically to me. Yes.
All right. That would be C-H-A-R-L.
Yeah. I don't buy it.
How do you spell chalele?
I have no idea.
So thank you, everybody, for listening to our episode on chemtrails. Again, I know cryptids, cool, ghost stories, cool. I feel with conspiracy theories are a little similar to like listener submissions, because I know there's people that feel very passionately both sides. So I feel like I try and be very, like, obviously we're going to throw some jokes in. That's just what we do. But I feel like I don't want to make it feel like we're calling one side dumb or anything like that. And I don't believe that to be true. I think you should question everything.
Absolutely.
I just don't happen to find this one believable. Exactly. Maybe I don't want to find it believable. Maybe there's something in me is like, I don't want to live in a world where jet planes are causing depopulation.
I just...
COVID.
It doesn't make sense to me. That's all it is. And but you're right. You should question things. But if the answers you come up with answer them in a scientific, reasonable way, there's no reason to not believe that.
Right. So if there's one question in your head that's like, God, I love this podcast and I don't know how to let them know how much I like it. One way that you can answer that question, if you listen on an Apple device, is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a 5-star review and a little bit of a comment to make me and Charlie happy. And we'll post it on our Instagram stories.
Yeah, definitely get a shout out. And also you're like, oh man, I love to review. Show's really good. How can I hear more? Our Patreon is popping. It's popping off. We got stories. We just put out a really cool story by a great author that was portrayed by one of our friends. And we have quizzes. We have games. Producer Ben is on there. Producer Ben does some great stuff.
Yeah. If you all want to know who Producer Ben is, you got to check out Patreon. Also, which we touched on earlier, we have a unique merch item. We have the Bee Leaving the Bees Are shirt, which you can only get by being a member of our dedicated tier, and you can only get it in this month of July 2021. So make sure to check that out. But above all, thank you so much for listening. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are.